Hi, I'm Siobhan Fletcher and welcome to the latest edition of our newscast.
My name is Holly Patterson-Hannay.
Perfect. So tell me then about Space School. I want to get into it, but I suppose first of all, what made you want to apply? What made you, you know, when it was brought up, what made you want to go, oh, I want to do that?
So I heard about the programme through my physics tutor, actually, and he mentioned that a few of his students had done it before and he knew that I was interested in space. I've always kind of had an interest in it. It's always been in the back of my mind, I guess, being on the Isle of Man as well. It, like, we've got really, really good dark skies, and I didn't even realise that till I actually went there, how good they actually were. The whole program seemed like a dream come true, literally. You get to fly out to Houston, meet all of these people from international places, meet astronauts, meet really important people in the industry that I want to work, like wanted to work in. And I was like, seems amazing. I'm just going to apply, see how it goes. The essays, there was like three essay questions we had to answer. It was like, why are you interested in space? How can the Isle of Man contribute to the future of space exploration? And there was another one, I can't remember. But they were just about 1,000 words each, and we thought, oh, I'll just apply for it, see what happens. I did put quite a lot of work into, and it was more heartfelt for me, I think. I didn't really base it off of particularly sciencey terms. It wasn't like doing a bunch of calculations and this is exactly how they can do it. I based it off of my thoughts and what I thought the island could do for the future and what I loved about space. And I think that it was amazing.
And it worked. So, yeah. So tell me a little bit then about why you love space, why it's something you want to go into. I mean, is there kind of an astronaut in history that's been a big inspiration for you? Like, you're talking to a bit of a space nerd, so I'm a big, like, Sally Ride fan, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, what is it? Have you just had that fascination since you were sort of younger?
I've always had a bit of a fascination for stuff I don't understand. I'm always like, what's this? How do I do this? What's this? And my parents will tell you. I've always been constantly asking them questions that they literally have no idea how to answer. I'm like, oh, what? How does this work? How do you do this? And she's like, I've got no idea. You're going to have to ask someone like a professional in the industry. But I've always loved the idea of learning things that we don't know a lot about. So we obviously know a lot about space, but we do not know anything about space at the same time because we literally don't know how far it goes. We don't know much about it at all. And being interested in that is always like, it's like scratching an itch in your brain, learning about new stuff, which is an amazing experience. And we were there, we met Sunita Williams, who was the astronaut that got stranded on the ISS, and it was amazing to meet her. I actually got a selfie with her. I was like, can I just get a photo with you? But she told us about her experience on the ISS and like all the tests that they ran, and while she was up there she was like, oh gosh, she said she knew straight away, pretty much as soon as they landed she was like, we're gonna be delayed because there was a minor issue, and they were like, they cannot send us down if there's even a minor issue. And then it just kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed, and she was like, but it was amazing hearing about space firsthand and hearing about her experience on the ISS and zero gravity and everything. It's just like scratching an itch in your brain that you like love.
You've probably had quite a cool insight with her then. There's probably not a lot of people who've been able to be like, and what was that like? You know, was she like, oh, I'm stuck away for ages, this is an inconvenience? Or was she like, oh yeah, great, like I get to stay up longer?
She loved it.
Yeah.
She said she didn't even see it as like a hindrance being stuck up there. She was like, she said she thought it was going to be one of her last missions. And originally she was supposed to go out on the, I think she said something about the second crew and be the top manager of that, or like the top band of that, but they decided to send her out on the first one instead, and that was a shorter mission than the second one, so she'd been put on a shorter mission anyway. And she was like, oh, I wanted to be up there for longer. And then she was like, yay, I get to stay for longer.
Way longer than she like bargained for. So then tell me a bit about the space school. So you go out there and it's just, I mean, from the descriptions of what you guys, all three of you, were saying, it just sounded amazing. So you work with people from all over the world on a project, and then at the end you're presenting it in front of actual like astronauts then?
Yeah, so the whole experience is basically you have to design and chart a mission to Mars from Earth, and there's like specifications that you have to meet. So for example, I was on the red team, and that meant that we had to build the rocket in orbit, so we had to figure out how to do that. We had to figure out how to put the rocket together, and we had to figure out the timeline, and then we obviously had to get it there and back, which fuel we were using, which engines we were using, etc., etc. And it was just mental. Like, there was people there was this guy from Namibia who was incredibly intelligent, like scarily clever. He just was like, the NASA were using these engines called Vasmir engines, and they're like nuclear powered. And he was like, yeah, I can work with that, and just made his own rocket equation. And they didn't question him once on the entire thing. And I was like, okay. I did all of the communication stuff, so that obviously took up quite a lot of time. But I also did the like crew module and the like. So we decided to create artificial gravity, or attempt and create artificial gravity. And I was in charge of like calculating the rotational speed and calculating how fast it needed to go. So it was like gradually decreasing as we got closer to Mars. So they were more acclimatized to Mars' gravity. Then it would gradually increase as they came back, so there would be less of an impact. But it was. It was really fun, actually, and we loved designing it. We were using, like, a drawing app on someone's iPad to design this, and then we put it into the documents, and they were like, how have you done that? How'd you do this? And we were just going crazy at one point. We thought we'd messed up one of the layers on the drawing, and we were like, oh, my God, everything's wrong. We're going to have to redo the whole thing. But, yeah, figured it out, rescued it. It was fine.
And, like, you touched a little bit on what your role was there, but also you got commended for your role at the end. Tell me a little bit about what happened at that final sort of graduation ceremony, and why is it so exciting?
So on the like final day that we were all together, it was like a graduation, and we all went up and received our certificates. Like, they brought us up by name and in like in order of teams. And then at the very end, I didn't even know this was going to happen, but they brought like one person from each, so each mentor went up and said, I'm going to give this award to one person in the team. And they basically like described them and didn't say until the very end. And he was like, excellent communicator. And I was like, oh my God. And then he was like an asset to the team. And I was like, oh. And then I was like, oh my God, he's just said my name. And I felt really bad because the guy next to me was literally like had his hands up praying. He was like, please, 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 please. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. But it was amazing. I went up there and I was like, oh my God, I've just won this flag that's been flown over Houston. I was like, that's a really big honor. There was a girl there as well who won an American flag that had been flown over Washington. And she won that because she got like the highest on all of the homeworks that they did. It was like quizzing questions, and she got the highest average on all of them. And I was like, she was very, very clever and really, like, really lovely girl as well. But it was amazing.
Awesome. And so I guess real quick before I grab one of your colleagues, but so would you recommend it to sort of any students in year 12 who are thinking about maybe throwing their hat in the ring next year? Would you say go for it?
Yes, without a doubt. Even if you're not that interested in specifically STEM, but still have an interest in space, you don't need to be some incredibly intelligent maths whiz physics genius to win. Like, I obviously take maths and physics for A-levels, but there was a girl that went from Wales and she takes English literature, geography and history, and she thrived there and she was so amazing. She was really interested in it. And if you have a passion for it, you can do it. They're not just going to pick you, oh, because you're good at physics or because you're good at maths. There's a team fit for each person, and just do it. Just apply.
First of all, can you introduce yourself for me?
Yeah, so I'm Guy McGuinness, 17. I go to Ballycommune High School, yeah.
Spot on. So first of all, I guess, the big question, what made you want to apply in the first place?
Yeah, so they spoke about the opportunity in school. Well, I heard about it previously, actually, from a family friend. He told me about it when I was having dinner with them. And he mentioned that there's a thing that I should probably think about applying for in a few years. And then obviously the opportunity came and they spoke about it at school. And to be honest, I thought, like, oh, there's no point me applying, I won't get on that. And then I just thought, it's not too bad, 3,000 words, I give it a shot. I gave it a shot, and obviously, it took a longer process, but I got in the end. So yeah, I applied, it was a great opportunity, and I couldn't miss out on it.
Spot on. So what do you study then in school? What kind of, are you more scientifically minded, or are you, they've mentioned that people were studying all sorts when they were out there.
Yeah, definitely. Not everyone was physics and maths minded. I do take maths, physics, but I also take economics. And at university, I don't want to study necessarily fully science, but not everyone there was to do with science, and it's not a necessity to be there. It's just having a passion for the industry, because there's so many different parts of it. I mean, we were split up into teams whilst we were there, and you could see the range of industries that are involved in getting a man or a person, you know, someone into space. It takes a lot. So whatever you're interested in, as long as it's space related, it doesn't have to be science.
So then give me a little rundown of some of the things you got up to then. So you've all mentioned that you were in different teams and you were all looking at different sort of parts of this sort of flight to Mars.
Yeah, so the school one, like specifically in part of the school, we went in every morning. It was quite early, about 7:45. So I was setting my alarm early, waking up, trying to stay in bed, but I obviously I was excited to get up. So I got up and went, and we went to that, and we did the school. And so that was like, you split into teams, and you had to plan this mission to Mars. So between you, you had to, each team did their own different component on the mission. And at the end, you sort of all come together and you get judged on it, which is quite intense judging, but it's quite good. And then outside of the school was really good as well. So we'd go out and experience like Texan things or American things, learn about the culture. And that was really, really cool just to see. Like, for example, we went to Texas barbecue, which, I mean, that brisket was so good, man. I'd eat that every day if I could. And the best thing about American food as well, if someone doesn't know, A, the portions themselves are so big, and also the sides you get is wild. Like, I got two sides with literally everything you ordered, two sides with that. So when I came back here, and they bring you, like, order a burger, and they just bring you the burger, you're thinking, what? Where's my chips and corn and all that? Yeah. And then also we got to go to the baseball game, which was really good. So it wasn't quite what I thought. So I'm a big football fan, a big Liverpool Football Club fan. And I was expecting to be like that with like away fans and everyone's chanting and there's a great atmosphere going. But it was more like, it was really weird. There was no away fans, obviously it's such a long distance to travel. But that was a really, really cool experience, but very different. There wasn't any chanting. We actually made a little ultra section in the back of the stadium. We were chanting on the team, but it was really interesting, unique.
Tell me then, what was kind of the best moment of the whole thing, if you could sum it up, or something that really sticks out to you that you really enjoyed?
Yeah, best moment. It's hard, because it's not hard because there wasn't one, it's hard because there's so many. It's hard to narrow it down to pick one. I think something that was really, really cool and just unique was we met astronaut Sunita Williams. So she came down like from the, she was up in the International Space Station when she was, obviously the famous story, supposed to be there for 2 weeks, ended up being there for 9 months. So that was a really cool opportunity to listen to her. And something I'd watched when I was a kid on YouTube, I used to watch tours of the International Space Station, and she used to do them on YouTube. So to see her in front of me, talking to me, and I got the opportunity to ask her a question and stuff like that. So I asked her whether she was excited or upset that she had to stay longer on the International Space Station. And she couldn't really say, because she couldn't say she was upset. She couldn't really say she was too excited. But she sort of implied that she was very excited and happy to be there for a longer period. But that was really cool to speak to someone like that.
Perfect. So I guess then, if you could do it all again, would you apply again? I'm going to guess the answer is yes.
No, joking. Yeah, 100%. And to anyone who's doing it next year and in a year, people in the year below me at school, I'd just recommend, just give it a shot. Like I said, I wasn't expecting to get in. I was doing it more not something to do, but something like worth giving a shot for. And I gave it my best shot, and obviously I got in. So it's 100% worth giving it a go. Even if you think, you know, space, I don't really know that much about that. By writing the essay, you'll learn a lot more about it. Just give it a go. There's absolutely no harm in it. And it's an amazing opportunity if you get it. But even like my friends who entered and didn't get in, they still enjoyed the experience. Not enjoyed it, but they learned a lot from the writing of the essay. And it's something you've got to do for universities as well. So it's a great thing to get started on. I'd recommend everyone to apply.
I've got one last question for you, actually, just to jump back. You said that you, when you were a kid, you watched kind of International Space Station tours and things like that.
Yeah.
So is it just you've always had a little fascination for space? I mean, is there a particular astronaut or mission or anything that's inspired you? I was saying to your colleague over there that, you know, for me, I'm a bit of a space nerd. So, like, I love Sally Ride and the whole history of, like, women going to space. Is there, or are you just more fascinated in that technical side of, like, the rockets and how it all works?
Yeah, so I think when you think about space as space, not necessarily the human transportation there, but the vast expanse that is space, the fact it makes me, when I think about it, I'm thinking about it now, and that's why I'm sort of fumbling a bit, it's because it's just so incredibly vast. You watch those videos on YouTube, for example, where it shows you the real size of the universe, which is, again, an estimation. And that's our universe. There could be multiple universes. It's crazy. So I think the fact that we need to explore that and we need to learn more about that because it's so vast, that's really what pushes me to be interested in it. It's ever since you realize the true size of it, you need to explore what's out there. If you think about, say, the Vikings, when they were exploring around places, as an example, they would have thought that this was the only place, say, the Isle of Man. I know this isn't true, but say they were on the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man's the only place until they ventured to wherever they ventured to next, or to America, when they made it to America, or supposedly made it to America. We're not too sure of that. But I think that pushing human capabilities to its limits is something that we have to do, and we really have to invest in. So that would be what I'd say to why I'm always interested in it. I think it's impossible not to be when you understand it, when you understand the chances of us being here are so incredibly low. That's why we need to look after our planet and make sure we're doing all we can to through that. And so, yeah, I'd say that's what I've always been interested in. Just you have to explore the unknown, trying to find things that we've never found before, which will help us in our lives here. To learn more information about stuff.
So we're going to see you be an astronaut in the future then?
Oh, that'll be so cool. I think, obviously, the opportunity, if someone said to me tomorrow, you know, you could do this, you'd be an astronaut, I'd definitely take it. And I think going on this experience, on the trip, I've realised that it's not out of my capability or not out of anyone's capability to do something amazing like that. Whereas first you think astronaut, that's like, no one does that. And there's definitely an opportunity for that. So, I mean, we'll see how we go. Maybe if it comes to it one day and if I had the opportunity, I'd definitely take it without a doubt. But yeah, it's a very competitive industry, so give it a shot. But everyone, I was shocked at how much of a capability people have to do something like that. People say like, oh, it's the least likely thing you're going to do. They might say become an astronaut. But really, they're just normal people. And you just get the opportunity to go to space. I would 100% take that up. So yeah, but I think if you go out there searching for that in particular, it's hard. But if you just keep an open mind, keep your opportunities going, I think that if it came past my table, would you like to be an astronaut? I wouldn't take no. I don't want to
say
no.
Yes. Yeah. All right, perfect. That's brilliant. Can you introduce yourself for me, first of all?
Hello, I'm Patrick Williams. I go to Ballycommon High School.
Spot on. So tell me then, first of all, what made you want to apply to the space school in the first place? What made it sort of pique your interest?
Well, I've always had an interest in space, and then I've heard of the program through the school, but I'd already gone to a talk by what's he called?
Chris.
By Chris, and that was an incredible talk about how the Isle of Man's actually quite relevant in space, and about how we do satellites and things like that. And it was partly because of that. I wrote about that in my essay, which is I think partly influenced why I managed to get onto this. And yeah.
And so what was it like when you got there then? So you kind of just went because you thought, oh, it sounds interesting, but you get stuck into all these sort of, sounds like a very intense program when you get there. So what did you get up to and did you enjoy it?
I wouldn't say it was intense really. Like the first week it was more meeting people, and obviously it took us a while to get there because we were stuck in Dallas. And then once we got there, I met the guy I was staying with, he was from New Zealand, got on well with him. And then the next time we met everyone, and then it was more like team building stuff for the first week and just going out. It was like a football game we all did. Went to like a baseball game and stuff like that. And then the next week is when we started to like do more intensive work. Like it wasn't like impossible stuff. Like even if you didn't do like physics. Like I don't do physics and I found it was alright.
Well, so even that first week then, so you get to sort of do team building, you mentioned a few things to do. What was that like just sort of being in America and seeing all that American culture? Like an American football game is always a bit crazy to go to.
It was insane. Like the cars are all huge. Everything's big, really. Went to like a big steakhouse and I had this massive. Then we went, and the burger I had, there was like half a kilogram of meat inside the burger. The host family I was with are very generous. Like they paid for all my food. Like I barely had to spend any money, to be honest. Maybe like £100 in total for 2 weeks. And yeah, like everyone stays with someone from a different country. So as I said, I was with someone from New Zealand. And people from all over the world there, like Bolivia, Kazakhstan, New Zealand.
And so I suppose then, you mentioned that you don't do physics at school. So what subjects have you been studying then in sixth form?
So I do maths, chemistry and German.
Perfect. So I suppose, but you, like you say, they were transferable skills still, yeah. That you could understand it all.
Especially on the green team, which chemistry was quite helpful to calculate, like how much like volume of oxygen people will need and stuff. And just because it was more also about like the health of the astronauts, which is sort of linked to chemistry. And yeah, and also I do German, which was helpful to talk to the people from Germany. But it also made me realise how useful learning Spanish would be, because about half the people there were, because there was a lot of South Americans. Because a lot of both the head teachers were South American. And there was like Venezuela, Bolivia, Chile, Argentina, Colombia, like all over.
I suppose when you do a language like you do with German, you are a bit more predisposed to be able to pick up a language. So is it something that in the future you would be a bit like, if I was going to go into space industry, I'd try and learn a bit of Spanish then?
Yeah, definitely. So helpful to know more.
Yeah. And so would you recommend the space school then to any sort of year 12s who are thinking about it next year?
Yeah, absolutely. Even if, let's say you don't do any STEM, just have a go, because there are people there that didn't do any science or maths stuff and they did really well. And yeah, just, and even if you aren't particularly interested in space, just have a go, because like while our focus is obviously on space, you're only in the school for half the day and the rest of it's just having fun.
And so would you do it again then if you could turn back the clock? You'd definitely still put in that essay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Remember the essay was a bit of a stress to get it done, and they remembered to submit it a few hours before the deadline, but I'm very glad I did, because it was the greatest 2 weeks of my life, I think.
Can you introduce yourself for me?
Sure, my name's Chris Stott. I'm the chairman of River Advisors.
And so tell me about the Space School. This year's quite a big year for it, really. Tell me, what made you want to do it in the first place, and how does it feel to have got this far?
Oh gosh, this year was amazing. There were over 37 applicants. Anyone thinking about coming, please, the one thing in your control is to enter our competition. Talk to your teachers, look at the websites, please enter. It's the best thing we ever do. It really is. Before we even had our first customer for the Isle of Man in the space industry, we founded the educational program. Dr. Jennifer Stone was our first applicant. Every year we look forward to this, and it sounds really weird, but quoting Plato, or Plato, as it says in Max, to plan for a decade, plant a tree, but to plan for a century, educate your children. And here we are, 25 years in to the century of the Art of Man, renewing what it does in space. Been there since before the Apollo program, and ever since. And it's just wonderful to see the students. Every year the Manx students do great things. And it's wonderful to see them on parity with all these other nations. And to see the look of realization in their eyes, and they go, wow, the Isle of Man, the Department of Education and Children, does an amazing job. So amazing that NASA has sent several delegations to the Isle of Man to find out what it is our education system is doing to create such amazing students. It's down to the teachers, the department, the parents, and they themselves. They shine when they do this. And that's what makes it all worthwhile for us.
I was going to say, it's got to be sort of a real point of pride then to see that, one, you've had the most applicants this year that you've had, and also, like you say, that idea that our students kind of shine a little bit when they go over there, and there's a little note there of, oh, the Isle of Man, you know, doing great things.
That's it. From the first one in Jennifer, now Dr. Stone, in the year 2000, every single year since, in 25 years, the Manx students have shone. And it's wonderful to see that self-confidence blossom. It's wonderful to see them apply the skills they've learned here in our schools. It is just really good to see, very heartening, to know that our students are some of the best in the world. We can say that. And again, thanks to the government, and thanks to the Department of Education and Children, and thanks to our teachers in our schools. Sometimes very self-critical here on the island. But whatever it is we're doing something remarkable, that the rest of the human race goes, oh my goodness, who are these people from the Isle of Man? Why are they doing so much better or as good as some of these massive nations? Well, because we're Manx, fella.
And I suppose then, you know, it's been 25 years, but long may it continue. I presume there's plans for this to go on, you know, forever and ever.
As long as we're here, we'll do this. Always.
They've come back with these incredible stories, incredible experiences. It just seems like it's this massive opportunity for our young people.
Well, that's it. You get opportunities on the Isle of Man that you don't get anywhere else in the world. We're just honoured to be able to do this with the department, to support our students, our future here on the Isle of Man. They are our future. It gives us great joy to do this. Isn't that? It might sound naive in a very cutthroat world, but for us, the most important thing we do is our educational programs. That was the first thing we ever did. And long may it continue. Don't want to jinx it, being very Manx. Don't want to jinx anything. But no, it really is, it makes all the hard work, all the blood, sweat and tears we go through on our business side worth it when we do this.
Okay, can you introduce yourself for me?
Yep, my name is Dr. Jennifer Stone. I'm the Chief Strategy Officer at River Advisors.
Perfect. But we're here today talking about the Space School, and I think you have a very special connection to the Space School, so can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yes, I was in fact the very first winner of our Space School scholarship all the way back in the year 2000.
All the way back. I mean, I guess, well, first of all, how is it crazy just to see that it's still going on and there's still young people going every year, and, you know, even hearing how it's developed a little bit since when you went?
Yeah, it's amazing to see it, that it's still going, and I'm very privileged to actually run our scholarship program now. The program has developed immensely over the years. When I did it, I was the only student from the Isle of Man, but now we've been able to build and send 2 students. We're now up to 3 students. So yeah, it's really incredible to see the continued success and growth of the program.
And in their presentation earlier, even the students were talking about how people from around the world are like, there's 3 of you come here from the Isle of Man, because we're this little kind of island in the middle of the Irish Sea. But I guess, did you think that kind of just proves where we sort of have our might a little bit in space exploration? We sort of send our kids there and they do really well.
Absolutely. The Isle of Man is small but mighty, and I think the Isle of Man is actually quite well known now in the space industry, so it's really great to see our students going and succeeding and doing really well at the school every year.
When you went along, I mean, what did you take from that? It's obviously stuck with you because you're now leading this program, but, you know, what was it like when you went 25 years ago?
It was really amazing to meet all these, like, NASA scientists, engineers, astronauts, and for them to actually be really interested in our ideas and what we thought and what ideas we might have for going to Mars, for example. So even us as teenagers still in school, these very senior, super smart people really wanted to hear what we had to think. So it sort of showed if you work hard, you can achieve all sorts of amazing things.
And so post-space school, I mean, what was your career trajectory? Where did you go from there? Did it inspire you to carry on and along that line? Like, what happened afterwards?
Yeah, so after space school, I came back and did my A-levels. I then went to St. Andrews University to study astrophysics. Having space school on your CV looks super impressive, even to university professors. And that allowed me to then apply for programs sort of around the world, because it showed you had that international experience, ability to work with people from around the world. I went on to do my PhD in astronomy in the USA, so going back to America after the space school experience. I then went on to Japan and was a research scientist for 4 years. And then I sort of came back home in a way, and I joined what was Mansat, now known as River Advisors, and it's nearly 10 years since I've been with the company.
Amazing. So, I mean, I guess then the space school is going to keep going on and on and on as long as we can imagine.
Absolutely. So it's 25 years of the Space School program. It's now 55 Isle of Man students have been through the program. So here's to the next 25 years.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.